This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
When we try to commodify the news in this way, where there is less supply than demand, you deteriorate the quality of the product as you're stretching it out over 24 hours.
Media critics have pointed out that news stations these days tend to have a political bent. Gone are the days of objective journalism. At the same time, it must be acknowledged that MSNBC and Fox News differ greatly in their treatment of what is factual. This week's guest on Sea Change Radio thinks it's all garbage. We're talking with Dave Brown, an attorney, podcast host, and freelance sports columnist. We debate the merits of cable TV news, look at the impact it makes during a global health crisis, and speculate about what, if anything, can be done to remediate the bloviation. I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by Dave Brown. Dave is a freelance columnist for the Concord Monitor, a sports writer. He is also the co-host of Entitled Town, which is a sports podcast, and he also practices law. Dave, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
You and I had an exchange on April 1st on Twitter that I wanted to share with our listeners, and then I thought that could be a good launching pad for a larger discussion about the media. You tweeted, "Never watch cable news. It's ruining all of our brains. The conservative stations, the liberal stations, and the vanilla swirl station that everybody hates. Delete them from your remotes and streaming services." And I took issue with that, saying, "Hey, we can't be making false equivalency arguments during these times."
And I don't think I made a false equivalence.
Right. And so I think something got lost in the nuance of our 280 characters. And it's one of the reasons I wanted to discuss this in a verbal format rather than a written one.
Let's talk it out.
Let's talk this one out. Explain what you meant by never watch cable news.
All of the cable news, don't get your news from cable. Don't get your news from cable television. Where the issue comes up with this being a false equivalency is, you're probably going to tell me that Fox News is worse than the alternatives. And I'm probably not going to disagree with you on that. But none of them meet the standard of the type of media outlet you should be getting your news from. If you watch CNN on an election night, you will watch people who have genuinely perfected the art of taking 5 minutes to say nothing and leading you to believe that something important is happening when nothing is happening at all. Stringing you along, holding you in place, taking minimal pieces of data and blowing them up to capture your attention for a short period of time. You should not be watching that, okay? You should not be watching Rachel Maddow hold up a 1040 that is completely innocuous and talk about it for an hour because it's Donald Trump's 1040. It wasn't newsworthy. When Rachel Maddow did that thing about Donald Trump's 1040, there was maybe 2 minutes of news in it. And she spent 60 minutes talking about it, you know, minus whatever the commercials were. That's a problem. It's not the same problem as telling people that a pandemic is just a flu that they don't have to worry about. That's a whole other different problem. But I'll tell you right now, if everybody stopped watching cable news, we'd all immediately be smarter. We'd all be in a better place from day one. So I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you that MSNBC is doing the same thing that Fox News is doing. I'm just telling you that all the cable channels are doing something wrong. They're doing different things wrong, but they're all doing something wrong. They're all destroying our brains. Don't watch them.
Couldn't we make that same argument when it comes to the printed word and newspapers? I mean, the New York Times has put out some pretty faulty journalism over the years. Just yesterday they were talking about, there was a headline that said
Trump has a financial stake in hydroxychloroquine. And when you read in the 23rd paragraph, it turns out it's within a mutual fund. And I think he has like a $1,300 stake in this. So mm-hmm. it was, and I had bitten on it because I was like, why is Trump talking about hydroxychloroquine like a snake oil salesman? So I figured there must be something involved. So we all kind of wanted that, you know. I was shopping for that news and it came to me. But does that mean that the New York Times is the same as the National Enquirer and we just shouldn't read newspapers?
No. And here's the distinction. Media literacy is just nowhere near where it needs to be. We all need to be more vigilant in how we consume news. And news organizations have to be better at delivering it. One of the biggest problems is that you just made a great example with the hydroxychloroquine and Trump's financial stake, because that's the part that gets extrapolated and elevated into social media to draw your attention so that you go read it. And the premise that all of the print publications are working from is that people are going to go read those pieces now. But most of the conversation that takes place is limited to what people see in headlines. And news organizations, I think, know this, but aren't responsible enough to change the way that they first present that information. It used to be if you wrote a bad headline, it didn't really matter because you'd pick up the paper and you'd read through it. But now you're just scrolling from headline to headline to headline. So social media has kind of created a false conversation around faulty portrayals of stories. Now, the difference between print publications and cable news, and why I say never watch cable news, is because it comes at you so quickly that you're sort of left with an impression of the information that comes at you. And it's all a show. It's all it's commodified information presented to you in a way to suit the getting your eyeballs from the beginning of the segment to the end of the segment. At least with print media, you can go through a story, take your time, go fact check something that doesn't sound right to you. You can do all those things, and I would recommend people do those things. So I'm not here to acquit print media of all of its faults. I'm just saying that there is a way you can do print media correctly. Whereas with cable news, it just simply can't be done. Even in a situation like this, where there is a crisis and there are breaking developments throughout the day, there simply isn't 24 hours worth of new information that we should be getting every day. And then that leads into commentary shows that just woefully distort what's happening. And at least in print media, you can sit there and digest something at your own pace. Pick it apart, you go to Snopes.
You've seen the evolution or de-evolution of the way people get their news over the last two decades, and people now shop for news. And
yes,
let's just compare MSNBC to Fox News, because I think they're on polar opposites more than the vanilla swirl, which I think you're referring to CNN with on that one.
Right.
MSNBC, I don't think there's any question that they use a political lens to interpret their facts, but the other completely disregards the facts. So maybe we're just quibbling over that term, false equivalency.
Let's say Fox, let's say that somebody went and bought Fox tomorrow. Okay, Rupert Murdoch decided to retire.
Yeah, let's say Bloomberg buys Fox.
Bloomberg. But let's say it's a more progressive Mike Bloomberg. And let's say he agrees with every single thing that you agree with, right? He's still going to make a crummy cable news station. It's going to stop doing all the terrible things that you don't like, but it's going to start doing other terrible things because to make money in that medium, you can't do news well. What you have with talking heads for 24 hours is CNN taking you into a missing airplane for 2 weeks and basically just talking about that because that's what you think you want to hear about. One of the things I love about the Trump administration is watching Trump supporters be angry at CNN because they got him elected. CNN was running his rallies in their entirety because he was getting ratings. And so the choices that those entities are forced to make sacrifice news value in favor of driving ratings, driving revenue, which is really the function of a TV station. That's what they're there for. And so when we try to commodify the news in this way, where there is less supply than demand, you deteriorate the quality of the product as you're stretching it out over 24 hours.
Agora o mundo só nós dois, e todo o resto ficou pra depois. Enquanto eu estiver aqui, o nosso amor vai ser forte. A vida contigo é muito melhor. Esqueci o medo de viver só. Com você me sinto bem. Contigo sou feliz também. All you persist. Meu amor por ela é forte, como ele não tem. All you persist. Meu amor por ela é forte, e como ele não tem. E se outros têm, pode ter certeza que o meu espelho.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio, and I'm speaking to Dave Brown. He's an attorney and a freelance sports columnist for the Concord Monitor and the co-host of the podcast Entitled Town. So, Dave, I agree that we're in new terrain with Donald Trump, but I think we also have to kind of get into the mindset of the press corps and the business behind the cable news that has not made that transition. When you have a president who lies pretty much every time he opens his mouth, how do you not report on what the president just said? Can you still report it and said the president lied about this or the president lied about that, instead of framing it as the president says that the moon is made of cheese? I think we have 200 years, 250 years of saying of a press being able to just go with the president says and then fill in that blank.
But did they? Did that happen?
That's a good question.
Because it's not just Donald Trump that's new. I guess we still call it a 24-hour news cycle, but it's really not that anymore. It's a minute-to-minute news cycle. And when the president says something, it immediately goes on social media. It's not just that it's being reported. It's that it's immediately reported, context-free, direct to the audience, without any time to consider or fact check or anything. When Richard Nixon would speak in a briefing to the media, if he was in a press conference, the earliest most people would see that might be in a radio report. They might hear it in a radio report during the day. They would see it on the evening news or in the evening newspaper, which existed at the time. In the intervening hours, imagine that, hours, people would go to editorial meetings. They would make phone calls. They would check to see what the president said was true, and then present context if it either wasn't true or if it was debatable or if there was if the people who disagreed with the president wanted to spin their side, they'd get their chance. And so, what happens is the word of the president now goes out directly. He can say whatever he wants. Richard Nixon had to think about, do I want to say something that isn't true? The more outlandish my claim is, the more these people could expose that I'm being misleading. There's absolutely no chance to concurrently deliver what the president is saying with the context for it. So many people read the lie first, and then later, oh, by the way, we fact-checked that thing that you heard about earlier in the day. It goes back to that old Mark Twain supposedly said, the truth can make it, or lie can make it halfway around the world while the truth is putting its shoes on. Well, he said that in the 19th century, before the internet could spin it around the world a few times. And so it's not just Trump. It's this era that we're in where the guardians of information are not careful with it.
Yes, and that's a lot of people have been saying that maybe these press briefings that he's doing during the coronavirus pandemic shouldn't be aired. Let just C-SPAN air it, and then we can give them the expurgated version later. I think maybe what you're trying to say is that I said that, you know, the press corps hasn't really made that transition, but maybe not just to Trump, but they haven't made that transition to real-time internet, quote-unquote, journalism. Like, we haven't caught up to the technology yet as reporters, as a media. Is that fair to say?
You know, I don't know that we're going to. I think eventually things will normalize. I think society's in a transitional period with how we digest news. Here's one of the key problems here. What segment of the audience is most susceptible to fake news, and who's falling for this, I guess is the question. Which segment of the audience?
Low information voters.
Well, no, I was going to say older.
Older people and low information voters.
Yes. I think that, see, I don't think that the low information voters are necessarily being fooled. And that's really semantics. The reason I'm pointing out the older viewers is because they grew up at a time when all of these things had been vetted. And the president, if the president was going to lie, the president had to do it rather artfully.
And if it's on TV, it must be true.
Right. And they have more reason to believe that. And, you know, I'm 41 years old. So people who are older than me grew up with this world where, you know, Walter Cronkite, you could trust what he was saying because he was on TV for half an hour a day. And his credibility was really his, was where his value was. So he had to work fastidiously to maintain it. That's my parents' generation. That's what they're used to getting from television, is people who fit that mold. So if Sean Hannity's on TV saying something, they're going to be more likely to trust him because that's what they're used to.
I think a lot of this is a manifestation, though, or a product of having a madman in charge who is trying to control the media in a very dark way that we haven't seen. I mean, yesterday he said, one of the reasons I do these news conferences, because if I didn't, they would believe fake news, and we can't let them believe fake news. And Jay Rosen, the media professor from NYU, tweeted, fake news is his term for real journalism I do not control. It's a question of the media has not figured out a way to regain control of what they want to do. And so that's why I think it's an extremely important distinction to make with Fox News versus MSNBC. I do think you're dismissing a lot of the work that MSNBC makes.
But why can't you give up both?
Well, why can't you give up the internet? It's a reality, Dave. It's not going away. People watch cable news in record droves.
But you can slow down. You can slow down the internet.
How do you slow down the internet?
Because you could take a step back and stop what you're watching.
People can read a book.
Yes. You can read at your own pace. With all of the cable news, look, it's all garbage.
No, it's not. As an environmental journalist, I see MSNBC woefully behind in covering climate change, but at least they accept the realities that climate change exists, and they do cover it. I just think it's not covered enough. Fox News, on the other hand, denies its existence completely. I think that's a really important distinction, don't you?
But I agree with that. See, just because Fox News is bad doesn't mean that you save MSNBC. And it doesn't mean that MSNBC is above reproach.
Nobody's saying it's above reproach. They're both worth criticizing, but...
Yes. And neither is worth watching.
Well, I don't watch a bunch of cable news myself, but I think it's unrealistic to expect people to stop watching it. And if they're going to watch it, I'd much prefer them getting stuff that is fact-based than propaganda.
But, okay. But see, you're evaluating this through a political lens. I'm evaluating this through informing the viewers of TV news. And I'm saying that neither of these things do it properly.
I agree with that. I would definitely want to improve MSNBC if somebody gave me the keys to that kingdom. I think the demarcation point we saw in the way people get their news through TV was during the Bush-Gore debates, when Al Gore gave a really intricate, nuanced explanation of taxes. And Bush was like, you know, he basically just said, he called Al Gore a nerd, and everybody kind of patted him on the back. And that was the end of that discussion. I think networks learn from that, maybe the wrong lesson.
You know what I think? Here's another key part of this, right? one of the worst developments that's come out of, and this is true for all of the cable news stations, is that they have turned all of us into pundits. And for people, for your listeners who consider themselves to be more progressive, I think this is most damaging to their beliefs and their and the things that they want to accomplish, is that everything has been sort of reduced into what is realistic, what can be done. And instead of conversations about persuading voters, it all becomes like, and I'll put this into a practical example with Liz Warren. Okay. One of the things that I believe hurt Liz Warren is that voters of color and female voters sort of drifted away from her as the primary went along. And I think the reason they did that was because they started to worry not only about whether her agenda was something that could be accomplished, but whether a female candidate could get there. Okay? And the only reason for those people to be thinking that way is that cable news sits there and asks this question every day about whether a woman can win. So I think that now we don't talk about issues anymore. That what we now consider to be politics is not politics, or it's at least not the issues that matter to society. It's not about preparing for a pandemic. It's not about the social safety net. It's not about defense spending. It's not about the relevant issues to our lives that government is supposed to be involved in, to whatever degree you believe government is supposed to be involved in. And how much we tax people, how we allocate tax revenue, reasonable people can disagree on all of these things. What has happened is that we've all been pushed into these factions, and we're all having conversations. People should be making more than minimum wage. We're talking about, well, Bernie Sanders could never get elected anyway. We're not discussing the merits of the idea. It's the tribalism. Like, Donald Trump isn't president for most of his policy ideas. You know, maybe people are really into the wall, but I don't think that everybody who voted for him necessarily was. But it gets to a point where he's president of owning the libs.
What would you do if you were asked to give up your dreams for freedom? What would you do if asked to make the ultimate sacrifice? Would you think about all them people who gave up everything they had? Would you think about all them who wanted us? And would you start to feel bad? Freedom isn't free. It costs folks like you and me. If we don't all chip in, we'll never pay that bill. Freedom isn't free. No, there's a hefty fee. And if you don't throw in your bucko five, who will? What would you do?
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio, and I'm speaking to Dave Brown. He's an attorney and a freelance sports columnist for the Concord Monitor and the co-host of the podcast Entitled Town. What would you do if you were in charge of MSNBC? Would you say, you know what, this guy is just lying. We shouldn't put this up there, or I find it really offensive what he's saying every day. Let's just edit this out and put it in Rachel Maddow's 6 o'clock segment, etc.
I don't know. I think... And here's why my tenure as head of MSNBC would ultimately be a failure.
Short-lived at best, right?
Yeah, because I would spend more money and fewer people would watch. I would try to do more informative pieces, and I would try to ignore the conversation that's happening in real time and slow things down, and let's look at, you know, let's help people understand the basic facts behind the issues that are actually important to their lives. Right? Let's help them understand the difference between H1N1 and COVID-19. Let's help them understand, you know, the things that the government could be doing in a pandemic. One of the One of the big conversations that I've been having with people online is this idea that like they just buy into that Trump is fine, has been fine in this pandemic because he has no responsibility whatsoever. That it's really just the states are supposed to do this. Meanwhile, the states are all bidding against each other for ventilators, driving up the cost for everyone to the point where the states, and this blows my mind, the states have decided, and FEMA is also bidding. So the federal government and 50 state governments are out there bidding for equipment they need. To the point where the states are starting to think, hey, maybe we should form a consortium to combine our resources.
What should we call this consortium? Something like the United States?
Yeah, the United States of America. That's what we were doing here. Right. Somebody said to me the other day, they were like, where does the Constitution have enumerated powers to deal with a pandemic? And I said, the defense and general welfare of the people. It's right there. Congress has that authority. And they were like, well, that's a very broad statement. I'm like, how can you read the words general welfare and not apply it to a pandemic? These are the things we're dealing with. Everybody's reverse engineering their idea of reality from the outcome they want. And we're not informing people with what's going on. When you talk about false equivalence, I think of climate change. I think it's the best example. I think it's 99% of scientists say that there is a man-made problem with global warming, okay? And then all you have to do is put one guy on screen who says it isn't.
And then it's a controversy.
Yes. Now it's a 50-50 thing. There's two sides to this issue when there are not. There are not two sides. There's one side and there's a bunch of people spouting nonsense. It's flat earth theory, okay? But cable news is much more likely to put on somebody to tell you that the earth is flat than they are to put on someone who will say, no, we're not gonna entertain the idea that climate change isn't happening.
Okay, all right. I think our definitions of false equivalency were different.
You're not wrong.
Oh, good.
It's not that you're wrong. We're just looking at this slightly different. It's that I'm saying there has to be a minimum. One of the things I said to you in our initial conversation was, all bad media is bad. I don't have to parse on that level to say don't watch cable news. I'm not saying it's because it's all what Fox is doing. I'm saying it's because it's just all, it's sort of like I'm saying, you know, there are people who won't watch the NFL because of concussions, right? That it's a risk for everyone, that everybody could get concussions. But so if I say, don't watch any of NFL, it all has concussions, and you're trying to say, yeah, but the Patriots are so much better than the Browns.
Right. I see what you're meaning. Terrific insights, and I could talk another hour with you. Dave Brown, he's an attorney. He's the co-host of the Entitled Town podcast, and he's a freelance columnist for the Concord Monitor, and I highly suggest all Patriots fans read his work. Dave, thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
Thanks, Alex.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise. Additional music by Grant Green, So George, and Trey Parker and Matt Stone. Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.